We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oscar Robertson, Lou Alcindor, what a year has it been. The Bucks are the world champions.
Moncrief going inside.
Play basketball and win.
And win?
Yeah.
How many games?
Six. We're gonna win in six.
Well, welcome to episode 346 of the Win Six podcast, proudly a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast family. I'm your host, Adam McGee, and joining me as always, it's my good friend, Jordan Tresky. Jordan, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
I'm glad to hear it. We are here to continue on with our ongoing series where we catch up with longtime friends of ours. Some of them are former guests on the show. Some of them are people who contributed a Behind the Book Pass with us. And some of them are people we just know through the pod, know through Twitter. And that's the category that today's guest falls into. We have got the infamous, I think famous applies here. Infamous would also apply here. One of the most prominent Bucks tweeters there is. I think if you're listening, if you're on Twitter, you're going to know who this person is, although you will not know who this person is. And today's guest is our friend, Nihilus Bucks, Craigory Smith, whatever you want to call him. Craigory, hello, welcome.
Hi, Adam.
You've wanted this for quite a while, and we've talked about it.
We've been talking about this for like 2 years, bud.
Which is, you're not alone on that. This is something that has come up with a lot of people being out. It's like, oh yeah, we have. But here we are, and what better time to do it than after the Bucks winning a championship. So we're going to work our way through your entire Bucks journey, which it's safe to say is a source of fascination for many. And I think one of the things that maybe goes underappreciated here, because you have memed the hell out of this team over the years, you probably have as deep a knowledge of this team as pretty much anyone through like the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm really looking forward to this and a lot of directions you take us. What we're going to do is we're going to start with a question that, as I always say, could be very simple. It could be very complicated. I don't know which way you will take it. But, Craigory Smith, why are you a Bucks fan?
That's a great question until this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
So basically, long story short, I wasn't really into basketball till college, and then my roommate got me playing 2K, and he was a Bucks fan, and then on our create a player, we got drafted by the Bucks. This was the 2013, we were playing on 2K14, mm-hmm. 2013, I led the Bucks to the title, and I don't know. I kind of fell in love with like Giannis and also just a bunch of people online through my roommate and everything else. And now we're here. It's a long, treacherous road of weird, crazy, insane things that only make sense to someone whose brain is broken as mine. But
do you think that, because it's one thing, like it's easy to say all of that, right? It's easy to say, okay, I fell in love with Giannis, or I fell in love with the Bucks at this point. But as you mentioned, you weren't really a basketball fan before that, so it was all pretty new to you. Is it safe to say you didn't know quite what you were getting into? That maybe works on multiple levels for you. But in terms of just the direction your Bucks fandom would take and the role it would play in your life, and also just like what it's like to be a Bucks fan and go on that journey.
Yeah, so for the first couple of years, I only like kind of followed the team. It was more of just like I'd occasionally look at them, where I'd play with them on 2K. Like I wasn't obviously in college doing what I was doing, so there wasn't a whole lot of time to sit down and watch basketball. Until it got to the point my junior year where it was so overwhelming that I was literally just watching the basketball to distract my brain for a little while. I specifically remember sitting in one of the student lounges, like with my work on my one side and the Bucks Raptors game six of the Jet game, I think it was.
Yep.
Like in the background, and I was like trying to focus on both, but it was not working. But I was like, oh, the Bucks are losing, don't worry about it. And then I like start working, and then I look up, I'm like, what the hell? Of course, they ended up losing that game. But, and then the whole like Bucks fandom experience, like Twitter is really what like drew me in more, because it was just because the Bucks were a dumpster team, obviously, from like 13 to 16 ish. Like, we obviously the 7 seed or whatever we were that year. But, and it was just watching the fans, like, it was the end of the world every single loss. And it was just so funny. It was like, you saw these people pouring their heart and souls into this miserable basketball team. And you would just every the whole Nihilist account came from just making fun of Bucks fans, if we're being honest, just how miserable they were. And that was the whole joke at first, was it was just a reflection, and people really like empathized or, you know, understood the account. Except they didn't realize, at first that it was a joke about them. They thought it was just a person wallowing.
I think there's probably some people to this day that at certain times, even Bucks fans, that are not quite aware that the joke can be on them, although it has evolved over time for sure.
Oh, I don't, yeah, we can get to that if you want. But I also kind of, it was great about that count. I was like working insane hours, and it was just a way to like occupy my brain at 2 a.m. when I'm trying to stay awake. Was just posting random bull. Can we swear, Adam?
Yeah, sure. Once you do it, I just hit the explicit button. Let's not go over the top now, but yeah.
I'll watch my vocabulary, because otherwise it's
tasteful
just
swearing.
Yeah, you know, a few here or there is fine. Okay, you were just getting prepared with that question. I thought like there was one that was like building up and about to just explode out there. But to pull back the curtain a little, we know each other going back to around that time through the pod show. As you said, you became very online and we got to know each other and we got to talk. And I can attest to, I remember when Niall's Bucks became a thing, and I remember you working crazy hours, because your hours actually would at times actually match my non-Bucks hours, which is, you know, that's a sign when anyone's close to matching up on my schedule in the US. That's like it's a reverse situation that I don't get to experience very often. But I knew how much fun you were having with that, and I knew how much fun you were starting to have with a lot of just the weirdness of Bucks Twitter, because there was this mix always of, you know, maybe in part of it's because the team's so bad. Like, there's just kind of, there's a weird undertone. There's niche players that take off. There's a different mindset than you're going to find on kind of Twitter followings of a lot of other teams. And you clearly felt like something was your niche there, and it just hit at the right time. And I guess here we are. Like, for me, I saw it unfold in real time. And as I have said to you before, and I joked to you, there are times where I'm like, good God, did I contribute to what Gregory is doing to the wider online world at this moment? And there are times where I'm like, oh, look at that amazing thing that's happening over there. I remember when that was just starting up. But for you, that whole journey, like you just said it at the start, it's kind of like you're seeing what's around, you're getting a sense of it, and it's, you know, you're making an account that is kind of laughing at the situation there. Am I wrong to say, though, that over time you became one of the fans that you were kind of making a joke about in the first place?
Oh, I was already there. Like, I'm not going to pretend like right. I'm some saint above everyone laughing at the peasants or anything. But it was just like, there were points where it was just so over the top. Like, you thought somebody had killed their grandmother when we drafted Thonmaker. I could not stop laughing when I saw Thonmaker get selected. That was one of the moments where I was like, dear God. Because I remember, Adam, you and I were literally talking about it. I'm like, they're not going to take Thon, are they? Like, that, like, obviously the spirit animal of the account for a while was Greg Monroe.
Sure. Just...
still the pinned tweet. I think that's when people realized that it, like, I was doing something weird. It's the Greg Monroe tweet. Just completely unhinged.
This is great for memes. I mean, even that's with stuff. I recently had to, my laptop was basically just full. I had no memory and I had to go out and just delete tons of stuff. So I was going back through some things I made like back in 2015, 2016 Photoshops. And just the sheer amount of Greg Monroe Photoshops and like photos of him making all sorts of incredible faces. He was maybe the best books player for memes outside of, I guess, Bees kind of rivaled him for a while when he came along. But Moose, I don't think people even think of him as that kind of personality, but he was definitely, he was good for us at Behind the Book Pass and our building our Twitter following, and he was definitely good for the Niles brand.
God, that I remember, one of the ones I just randomly remember while you're talking is the Thonmaker picture that was put out by the official team account. I got a lot of mileage out of that. Was I eat 7 to 8 times a day?
Oh yeah, I remember that one. That was from a Howard Beck article. That quote, right? And they made up they put a team graphic together on that where they're like, yes. Yeah, this is a good idea. Let's put this out. Yeah, very very strange. Okay. So you mentioned obviously that game 6 against the Raptors, which was the Jet game. Is that the thing that stands out to you, or what would you say is your earliest books memory of the actual books, not 2K books? What's kind of there in your head as the first time that you're like, okay, this is Milwaukee Bucks basketball?
I think Jabari tearing his ACL like immediately was one of those just like, is this like what? What is this team cursed? Like, what is going on? Like, here comes the savior and he's gone. Like, there's that. I remember the whole Jason Kidd. So obviously Jason Kidd's a figure. Part of the reason the account got as big as it did was Jason Kidd's just utter stupidity.
Do you realize now? I mean, obviously you've got it from the account perspective. You've had it good in a very different way over the past few months. Like we'll talk value oop, I'm sure, later on. And something like that is like, it's a complete opposite of what you used to do, what you used to have to do. Like when you think about that now, is it a case of you didn't know how good you had it in terms of content when Kid was there? Or are you just like the rest of us being like, you know what? I do not care. I don't care if Nihilus has now evolved into a different thing, because yeah, nobody needs to go through Jason Kidd for all along.
I was actually like kind of happy that the Bucks got good, because I was getting so bored of it. Was basically getting to the point where it was Mad Libs. It was like something, something void, something player, like welcome the harbinger of ruin, blah, blah, blah. It was just getting to Mad Lib style where I didn't even have fun with it anymore. Like there was occasionally a new like meme that would pop up or whatever after we'll get into this account actually randomly teaching me things, like when I taught myself image editing for this stupid account. Even though I'm not good at it, like I taught myself how to do it to make stupid pictures, like the lineup lottery and all that other fun stuff. Like I think that was the first like actual bit, like recurring bit on Nihilist, was that or the Ursan contract. Wait, no, that was probably
Ursan contract was definitely later. Yeah. Lineup lottery was one of the early staples.
Yeah.
And that was not just a bit, because that was actually how the Bucks lineups were working at the time. So
yeah, oh god. DeAndre Liggins, baby.
Yeah. That was
the Mitten.
Gary Payton too.
Gary Payton too.
The Mitten has, to be fair, he's had a better career where people like you see tweets right now and you're like, he's really good. Someone should sign Gary Payton too. And it's like, wow.
Isn't he just signed with like the Lakers or Warriors or something like that? Anyway.
I thought he was still unsigned, but that's possible. I might have missed that.
He's still unsigned.
He's still unsigned. I'd say it's probably a matter of time before something like that happens. He's maybe one of the more interesting players still there.
He'll end up on the Mavericks.
Oh, for his sins. Yeah. Or the sins of his father, more accurately. who was your first kind of Bucks favorite? Who was the Bucks player that you read?
You know the answer to that.
This is a podcast.
I know.
I'm not asking for my own benefit. This is for listeners who may not know. I know. I remember. I probably got like a thousand messages about this player.
Oh yeah. So originally my first bit when I was, this wasn't even Nihilist, this was just me doing a bit, was I was in love with Delly. Like, I thought it was so funny. The Bucks gave him like what was 8/24 contract. It was like, what? It was like nonsense. I could not believe it. Like Jason Kidd, like the most open tampering ever. Jason Kidd went to the finals to go scout Delly. And I remember, did he get signed before he played in the Olympics, or was I just joking that he was a future Milwaukee Buck the entire time he was in the Olympics?
Because
I felt like
that would have been before, because Olympics are like what, late July?
Yeah. So it was August. Summer, I think. Yeah, and because I was watching all those games and writing blog posts on them, so he was definitely a Buck at that point.
Yep, that was just after. I know. I was either, but right after he signed, or what? I just remember jokingly telling Adam future Buck Matthew Dellavedova, and then it actually happened. It was very funny, and then it was very like, oh god, what have they just done? And then it was probably Greg Monroe. Like, I mean, honestly, obviously, it was like actually Giannis and Chris, but my like terrible Buck I love, it was Greg Monroe. And then I wanted to believe in Rashad Vaughn so much. That's another.
Was that a bit? Or was that real?
Both. I remember memeing the hell out of his summer league so much. Every summer league, Bucks fans would suddenly believe in Rashad Vaughn again. And then the season would come around, he'd hit his first three, and everyone would start like, oh my god, he's put it together. And then he'd like miss his next 14 shots and refuse to play defense. And it was it's like, oh, here we go again.
For the record, I would just like it out there that I never believed in Rashad Vaughn. I honestly don't. There may not be a Bucks player I've believed in less. There probably is if I thought hard about it. He's right up there. That was
when he was cooking. You were bringing your bag lunch. You were not having any of that.
I was not
a Buck. I believed in less. Was I believed less in Dante at first? Obviously, his summer league did him no favors. But I didn't want them to draft Dante at first. I was full on team Kevin Herter or Lonnie Walker, and we ended up with Dante.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was fully on board with Deli, and he just... Oh, God. The scoop is still one of the funniest plays in, I think, in NBA history. Just... partially because it's Deli, but also just because it's so ridiculous that happened in a playoff game.
It's also like one of the greatest players plays ever at the Bradley Center.
Oh yeah,
like right up there. It may well be number one. Like probably not, but anecdotally, people say that was basically as loud as the Bradley Center ever was.
I think that same series, Game 3, Thon, you can put Thon's entire Game 3 up there, sure. Too. When he had five blocks and four threes or whatever it was.
Just that we just recorded, for our last episode, we recorded with Tim Ray, who I know is another friend of yours, and Thon came up, you know, right for the off, and we were talking about that series and just what a crazy time it was. I think it was that year, wasn't it, that Tim said he was last on the pod, but this was after the conference finals or something like that, and it's like talking about Thon, and yeah, what a weird trajectory all of that took. But that Deli play, like, that's one that straight away, if you're like, oh, you know, great books plays of your years watching the team, there are now so many things that should come to mind before that, and I guarantee you that will come to my mind straight away, because at the time things are grim. And that was a good play. It was a very Deli play. It was about as Deli as it could get. Like, for your particular brand at that time, that was certainly ideal. was it just like that Deli was a ready-made meme? Was that the thing that drew you to him? Or did you actually find yourself, again, kind of loving the things that made him so meme-worthy to begin with?
Obviously I already knew about Deli because he was so memeable, and obviously he was LeBron James' second best player on a finals team, which is the funniest sentence. but yeah, and I was just like super excited that he'd get on a team and I'd get to annoy all my people on Twitter that I already knew with Deli. I just remembered. I think I'd probably block this out. I remember watching game two of that same series in a shit bar in Iowa. I was, I think, on a double date. I didn't know it was a double date. And I was watching basketball. Like, it was on in the background. I was like trying to catch up with the score. And she was like, my friend's like, what the hell are you doing?
And you were watching Deli.
Yeah, it was the Bucks-Celtics series. I think it was game two. But anyway, I just forgot I had that memory. Anyway.
What for you? And this is a question that you could go a lot of ways with, I think. You of all people. But what do you consider to be the low point of your time watching the books?
I distinctly remember like the DeAndre Liggins, Gary Payton era of just bringing in these players that, look, I didn't know that much about basketball. I'd only been a fan for a couple of years. I even knew they were terrible. It was like, what are you like? And we had, yeah, I distinctly remember the lineup lottery, like DeAndre Liggins playing over Malcolm Brogdon and everyone losing their minds. And it
Brogdon shrugging on the bench as to like, yeah, why he's not playing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah. And it was just like, what are we doing? Like, I remember, yeah, the Fire Kid movement was in full force. Everyone was like, what is going on? This is, the man is drunk at his station or whatever. The train has left the station. None of this makes sense. We have this obvious player or great player, because I think that was the year Giannis was the first player ever to finish in top 20 in everything. I think that was the same year. And it was just like, we are wasting it. And it was just like, what do we do? it was like, please, somebody help us. Like, oh God, he's friends with the owner. That's why he's still here. Oh God, please. There's no hope. There's only the void. I remember that being like legitimately like, this team is hopeless until they fire a kid.
Well, I was just going to say, like, for you, do you remember, because I know you mentioned that, like, the void for you became something that was, like, an old bit. You were happy to change it up and have something better to move on to. But do you remember that kind of time? Or is that the peak of popularity for that particular brand of Niles?
No, the Nihilist brand usually like is popular for the 5 minutes after the Bucks lose every year. Obviously, right. That didn't happen this year. But yeah, besides that, that was when it was like when I was doing the lineup lottery, I was pulling like I had DeAndre Liggins memes up, which is the stupidest sentence ever. DeAndre Liggins getting memes. I remember I had this picture of him looking confused in street clothes, and I tweet it all the time, like, "Why are you playing?" And he goes, "I don't know."
They're useful. I know from my book's meme folder, if you can get, you know, player looking confused, player shrugging, like, they're pretty adaptable memes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was definitely the peak where I was having fun with it, like making the stupid lottery pictures with like the wheels. Making the wheels were always the favorite. Like, not only did I make the wheel, I found a way you can make a wheel that actually spins. And I had like the wheel of excuses and the wheel of... the wheel of the lineups, and it was like lose a turn. Yeah, and at one point I think I had a wheel that was just Giannis because he was 22, so he can play as much as he wants. That was the classic kid quotes were so great. Like, you can't lose a game in 7 to 8 minutes anyway is the funniest quote in the history of the Bucks about Jason Kidd starting Gary Payton for no discernible reason.
Honestly, like the past couple of months have brought about lots of things to bring kid memories and kid discourse back, and people just do not, either there's some people who don't remember or some people who weren't there, and there's people who like support other teams and just never cared at the time, and they're like, it wasn't that bad, you know. It's like, no, it was whatever you think, it was worse. It was so much worse. It's probably worse than most Bucks fans who even or around that time remember. It's just honestly the things he would say, and that's I'm glad like someone like you says that, who was locked in on that, because that's the thing that I always come back to. So I remember losing my mind, whether it's actually on podcasts or if it's just like talking to Jordan off podcasts, and be like, listen to the thing he said today, like, this is just insane. Like, how is this guy the coach of the team? How are they going about trying to win games with the players they have, with a coach who's saying stuff like this or acting like this toward players?
You could have played a game, not to get political, but you could have played a game of, is this a Jason Kidd quote or a Donald Trump quote? And you just pick,
for
oh, that's...
sure. Yeah, 100%.
There's some very distinct parallels.
Okay, so I found the wheel of excuses. Let's see. No one has won before on this team.
Yeah, that was a comment on.
Let's see. Obviously energy and effort. We're a young team. We didn't execute tonight. What's this one? I can't. Let's see. You got to respin the wheel. It's on the.
Your audio sounds this. Are you like away in a corner of a room where there's a giant wheel that you've just brought out for the first time in years?
Wheel of excuses.
No, I was actually getting excited at the thought that there was a real wheel that you had, you know, it'd been gathering dust for years. You just literally wheeled it back out to talk to Jason Kidd.
There was that, and then it was, I thought John Horst was drafting players by pulling names out of a hat. Like, obviously DJ Wilson, I believe, was a kid pick, or at least we can blame it on it being a kid pick. But it was like, after that and DiVincenzo back-to-back, I was convinced that he was either only watching the tournament to make his selections, or was just pulling names out of a hat, because it was nonsensical, I thought. Obviously, I trust Horace now, because it seems like, oh yeah, he can just go find people off the bargain bin, and then they turn into good role players. It's kind of insane, actually, but...
Yeah, definitely a useful trait that he's shown over the years, because drafting is, to this day, not a strong suit.
We can't even discern whether he is drafting from a hat, because there's no picks to draft from.
Yeah, he's just decided, I'm going to punt forever.
Yeah, you want to talk about drafting? Adam, how many Bucks draft picks played in the finals? The correct answer is one. Giannis is the only draft pick that for the Bucks who played in the finals. Obviously, DiVincenzo's on the roster, but he didn't play. But
yeah, that's it's not. I can't say you're getting better anytime soon, because if they get back there next year, like, is there anyone? Is Jordan Ward gonna play? We'll see. Your favorite Bucks moment prior to the championship? Is there anything that you can actually, from all of the grim kid years or even the early Bud stuff, that stands out to you as a highlight or something that you're like, oh, okay, well, this is different. This isn't the same old Bucks.
I remember distinctly, well, this isn't really a happy, it ended up being it was the first thing that popped into my head. I was legitimately, for the first time, I pulled out a second TV to watch Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, I think it was the Battle of Winterfell. Maybe it wasn't, but it was the Battle of Winterfell in Game 3 against the Raptors, like in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think you're right. I remember that.
Same time. Mm-hmm. My parents are like, well, I think, yeah, I was at home for somehow that fucking weekend. And they were like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, seriously, I have to watch both of these things simultaneously. I was like, yeah. I legitimately, everything was so hot. We were just up 2-0. It was like, they can't run with us. I'm like, that was when I learned the new meaning of despair, I think. The reverse sweep.
So that keeps coming up in these podcasts over and over again. That series. Games right around then. And this is something that Jordan and I have talked a lot about over the years, that we were just like, we were pretty convinced at that point they were going to win a championship. Like, it just seemed like that's what was going to happen. Is that, had you reached that point, do you think, when they went 2-0?
When they went up 2-0, yeah, I was like, this is happening. Like, I was also, yeah, just probably the happiest moment, even though it was bittersweet after the Giannis MVP, I was super happy. Like, he got recognized for being incredible. But, yeah, I was fully convinced we were going to win the title, and we were so close. All right, we just need to bring everyone back. We'll do it again. And then the Malcolm Brogdon thing happened. And I was like, oh no. I was like, oh God. And then we signed Wesley Matthews. And I was like, okay. And then the bubble happened. We don't need to talk about the bubble. Everyone knows the bubble was depressing.
Yeah, the bubble is super depressing. We've said this on previous. I have very little memory of it. I think that's something I chose to do, is to blank out the bubble. So I agree with that. The thing that you bring up there, which is interesting too, which is like, I remember the post-Brogdon feeling, and then it's like, oh, well, they find Wes Matthews. That will kind of work. And then it's like, okay, PJ goes, and it's the same kind of deal. And then you're like, oh, okay, they found other good players potentially. Like, that's the thing that when we talk about the draft stuff earlier, that really is the example of Horse just finding ways to kind of paper the whole thing together and just keep the whole thing on the road, that it's like, yeah, I guess they could be better. Every year for the past couple of years, it's like, it feels like by the time we get to the season, it's like, you know what, this year's team might actually be better than last year's team. And I don't quite know how that's happening.
Yeah, because we signed dollar store PJ Tucker and Semi Ojeleye. We signed great value Chris Middleton and Rodney Hood. Yeah, John Hurst is hilarious at like signing like veteran versions of players that used to be on the team.
It's true. There is a sense of what's the kind of most literal way I can find replacements. Like, I think in this year's case, the most literal way of finding a PJ Tucker replacement, what they had, is going to force them into finding other ways potentially to play and to replace PJ Tucker's minutes. But yeah, we'll see how all that plays out. This is a question that for you, I think, is a little bit different to other people we've asked it. Do you think there's anything particularly different, interesting, or even special about being a Bucks fan?
Well, I've seen it in some other fan bases, but just the never leaving sense of dread is something I just love and cherish. Like, other fan, we also talk more smack for a franchise that hadn't done anything. Like, people get into it with the Raptors fans still to this day. I'm not going to name names, but I've, like, Raptors Twitter, like, and Bucks Twitter are just constantly in, like, a war, or, like, a, that's just single battles throughout, lettered across the landfield of minds. Like, everyone
I have
just...
no problem with this. I hate the Raptors. Yeah. Like, honestly, I hate them so much. Jordan will attest to this. I hated them for years. It's a pity they're terrible now, so that this can't be a real rivalry. But I even get that, and I am not that person, but it's like... the thing is, the Raptors fans... they talked a lot of shit. They talked to be fair, they got the better of the Bucks. They got their championship first. Fine. But I get why that happened.
And it's so weird. Like, they're so, like, I don't want to try to start your podcast getting into war with Raptors fans, but they're so weirdly insecure about the stupidest things. Like, we started doing the Deer District, and they got mad that we were copying Jurassic Park. Like, they have some patent on watching games outside. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen. They were like, just stewing, getting mad about, like, the Deer District, and it was getting, like, coverage. It was like, the Jurassic Park, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, who cares? Like, fans are showing up now. Great. And it was just like, well, yeah, Toronto had watch parties, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't care. I don't know why you think we care. Like,
the
books, hate-
by the way, the book's just on that. The book's first time doing the outdoor watch party, 1987. Bucks USSR. That's the first time they did it. They played the Soviet Union in the McDonald's, like, whatever, McDonald's Open, I think it was called. And they had a massive watch party outside. So Raptors didn't even exist.
Oh, that's funny. Someone needs to feed that to Bucks Twitter. If hopefully they're listening.
I think that's what we're doing. You know, that's what happens. You say stuff for the pod. So someone can remember that and use it when it's appropriate. Yeah, possibly, but... you, you know.
Yeah. I did pick and choose my battles at this point. Like, there's points.
Really?
Yeah, there's points where it's just like, I just want to stay out of this one. Like, you guys can go ahead. And then there's basically.
I honestly do not believe that. I would never have guessed that.
It's either I'm engaged, I'm fully engaged, and I've created an entire brand around this person's entire persona, or I'm not engaged at all at this point. Like, it's either 87 tweets where I'm just mocking this in person, or there's no tweets at all, if we're being honest at this point. Like, it all depends. Like, is what they're saying funny, or are they just being an idiot? Like, if they're just being an idiot, there's only so much fun I get out of, like, calling them an idiot. Like, because that, there's some sort of Twitter actions where it's fun, where you guys can, you can, like, go back and forth with someone who's either just being an obtuse moron, and it's just funny, like, talking around them, and they don't quite understand what's going on. How did we get here? I got down a road.
I asked you amazingly. That I love how we got here. I asked you if there was anything special about being a Bucks fan. Which, yeah, I guess, I mean, yes, in a way, is the answer that we got to.
Like, obviously, our guys are pretty much our guys, besides Drew. Like, Drew obviously showed up and won the title, but, like, Giannis and Chris have been the core of the team for literally, what, 8 years? Mm-hmm. And obviously, getting to watch them win it was very special as compared to, like, the Raptors, who had Kawhi Leonard come in the midst of night, win a title, and leave. And he's the greatest player in their franchise, and he wants nothing to do with them. It's very funny. Like, obviously, that's special. But, like, yeah, Bucks Twitter is just unique in that we were up, what was it, 25, 28 in that Hawks game. I'm watching the game with my friends, and they're like, oh, man, you're going to the final. I'm like, don't. They're going to blow this lead. They're like, what are you talking about? They're up 20, whatever. And I'm like, and then the Hawks, you know, went on their run at the end there.
Yeah,
I'm like,
the Bucks actually tries it.
I'm sitting there, like, pulling my hair out, like, curling up in a bowl. It's like, if we go to game 7, we're not going to win. Like, I was full on meltdown. Like, I don't know if I was tweeting about it, but I was just sitting there rubbing my temples, like, We need to get out this win and just get it over with. I do not want to see a game seven. Please do not give me. I cannot do this.
Okay, we're getting into the good stuff. We're getting into the championship. You have maybe spent as much time thinking about the championship run and particularly some of its most famous moments than anyone, than even those ardent Bucks fans over the past kind of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, from the Valley Oop, which I'm sure people listening are aware of the Valley Oop and have seen your various adaptations of that iconic play day to day for quite a while, and just how that, much like all Nihilist Bucks bits, how it spiraled into something so much bigger and more time consuming than maybe you realized at the start. Is that fair?
You mean when I started the account, I was just going to post the video of the play every day, and then it slowly spiraled. Then... Yeah. So it started out with, it's like, oh, I want to put the tight, cause I don't know if you guys are aware, like Titanic music over plays happens like a lot. Like I think sure. You guys probably know. But I was like, I want to put My Heart Will Go On over it. And I'm like, how do I do that? And it was like, okay, this is relatively simple. I did it. And then I just started like flipping through my like music. And I'm like, what songs would work? Like, because I could start tweeting a different song every day. Like, I just have to figure out what part of the song to edit out. Like, I think one of my personal favorites still is I did Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls next. And like right when the final chorus kicks in. And that one was pretty good. And then it slowly spiraled into accidentally learning video editing as a bit. And I just started getting more and more complex, adding more and more different shots. I don't know where it really started, like when it got out of hand. I know it was getting out of hand when I did the Into the Spider-Verse, where I was editing in clips from the movie. And I was like, okay, what is going on? Let's take a step back here. Like, what am I doing? Yeah. And then it, like Sweet Victory from SpongeBob, like that one was pretty in depth. The Queen one. And then it just kind of, yeah, it spiraled into madness by the time I got to the end of the Hall of the Mountain King, where it ends up with 654 different versions of it playing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then it all accumulated in the, or came to a climax at the final value I put out like a week or two ago.
But, so is it a really stupid question on my part to ask you what is your favorite moment of the Bucks championship run? It's the sunblock, right?
No. I mean, obviously it's the value, but like especially when I made the 7-minute deep dive value, which is a stupid sentence. The Brook Lopez block from game 7 of the net series, I feel like has gotten none. Or nowhere near of the love it deserves. Because I was like going through that game, I was like, oh my God, I forgot all about this play. Holy crap. Like, that was another one of the ones I remember. The Chris Middleton heat shot is literally like the banishing the demon shot. Like, it's not part of the finals. That's one of my favorite moments of the heat. It was basically that I was like, oh, this we might have something here. Like, if we're just going to banish all the demons immediately, like, let's go. Like, just gritting out that heat game. I think you guys even mentioned it on the post-game pod. Like, this feels different already. Like,
if they lose that, like, there's a really good chance that it doesn't end the way it does.
Yeah.
It's a big deal that they won immediately and the way they did.
Yeah, let's see. Another great moment was game 2, where I got my account locked for impersonating the fire department.
I did not know about that. But that
So I made my brand the Milwaukee Fire Department. I didn't even look like their Twitter. I just like made my name the Milwaukee Fire Department, and then said, "We've heard of the fire at Fiserv Forum. Please stop calling."
Oh yeah, I've actually forgot about that entirely. That makes sense. That would play out that way for you.
Yeah, Bryn Forbes is a serial arsonist. Please arrest this man. Yeah, that was fun. I was like, I should probably put this back before I go to bed. And then I woke up and it was like, your account has been locked until you change your name and profile picture. I'm like, okay. And then it was fine. But I was just like, that's the first time this has ever happened.
I get it. It makes sense. I get why that would happen when you do that. For you then, particularly because your book's journey is, even we've talked to quite a few people at this point, yours is very different to everyone else's. Particularly the ways in which you've been invested and some of the public ways you've been invested in it too, the online ways. So what did it mean to you to see the Bucks win it all? Like, I know on a personal level how invested you were and how you were going to extreme lengths to get the most out of enjoying this Bucks run. But what did it mean to you when they then go and win it all?
Let's see. Me and Justin Superstar cried, or Justin Superbuck, whatever you want to call him. We watched it together. That was kind of a special moment we had, in a random bar that was supposedly, yeah. Anyway, yeah, we cried.
You don't need to give too many details.
I legitimately, you can cut that out if you want. It's fine. I watched it with Justin, but anyway, I remember tearing up before the game because I had already typed up the end of the Ursan countdown thread that was if they won the title. I was like, this might be tempting fate, but I just feel it. We're going to win Bucks in six. Like, the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And it was just, I had already typed up and I was already had tear a little bit tearing, which is the stupidest thing ever. And I'm writing a end of a joke to a bit. That the world of light or whatever the hell I wrote, like, and you feel joy for the first time, whatever I wrote. But it was like, do you ever feel, oh God, I'm just having a self-actualization that I spent 2.5 years on a single bit that I updated daily.
You're talking to the right guys for, like, you know, years of your life being like, not just, most people we talk to, it's like, oh yeah, okay, they've watched the Bucks. Like, Jordan and I poured, what, 6, 7 years? 6 years, I think, probably.
Yeah, respectively,
closer to,
yeah,
7 for you, into, like, day-to-day, every detail of this team. Where, yeah, so I get it. I definitely get it. Also, I have no shame. I teared up many times during this run. And by game six, I was a mess multiple times, because it is just, we talked about this on post-game pods during the playoffs too. It's kind of like, it's, if you'd asked me, did I think they could win a championship or did I imagine they could do it? I would have said yes all along. Like, there've been times over the years I'm like, yeah, they could win a championship this season. But when they actually get there, you're like, oh, holy shit, this is like very different. Like, what you imagine is, oh yeah, they can win a championship, to them being like, they're 48 minutes away from winning a championship. It's a completely different feeling to even what I imagined it being, and a completely different level of stress, I would say, to go with that too.
Just watching that game six, like, we don't need to rehash game six, but just watching Giannis just decide, no, there's not going to be a game seven. The finals are over, and just single-handedly willing the team to the title was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. It was like, Giannis was just the most locked in I've ever seen him, where it was like, no, this is over. This finals is over. We're done. There are no more. This is it.
Well, that might, I was going to ask you next, what's your lasting memory going to be? Is it just, is it something like Giannis producing that game at that moment? Or is there even something more kind of specific, if you're to narrow in? Is there like a single image or a single moment that for you, it's like, well, that's 10, 15, whatever, how many years you want to go from now, where it's like, what's your memory of the Bucks championship run? What's going to come to mind for you?
Well, honestly, for me, it's probably going to be going to game three, like getting the chance to actually go to the NBA finals. Like, I was with a group of friends. We had a fantastic time. Like, all three games I went to in Milwaukee, and the one, basically, full week if you add all the days up, probably a little bit more, I think 8 days I spent in Milwaukee, besides being a drunken blur, where some of the most fun I'd had in like 2.5 years or 2 years, whatever, since like the pandemic and everything else. It was great to actually go have fun before Delta, I was apparently gonna lock everything down again. But yeah, that was just so much fun. I made some friends that we're gonna I am convincing people I'm going to go to Milwaukee again, I think, this regular season. We have to figure out when, because we're all going to try to meet up again. Ring night, I don't think is going to work because it's on a Tuesday, but just making lasting friends that I'd already been friends with them on the internet, but actually meeting them in real life and everyone being as genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, I've yet to have, even from people I wasn't really Twitter friends with until I met them in person, just randomly in Milwaukee. I have yet to have a not wholesome interaction with someone who was on Buck's Twitter, even if I wasn't really like interacting with them that much, but I like knew their account. Like every single person has been genuinely wholesome, and it is honestly incredible that like everyone is just like every interaction's been great. I've yet to have a person it's like, oh, that guy is actually a dick or whatever. Like everyone's been fantastic. It's actually crazy.
Well, yeah, that's very cool. I'm jealous that you got to go to. Am I the only person here who wasn't at game? Were you at game 3 or was it game 4, Jordan?
4.
Oh, okay.
That was
But I'm that same thing of like over the years getting to know so many people and kind of like it's really what this particular run of podcasts is about. It's just lots of people that over the years we've got to know, Jordan and I, not kind of actually even taking into account that Jordan and I also like get know each other through this, but to get to know all these people online, have that great thing to then get to meet. It's not something I've done yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it. And it seemed like, and I know even talked to you privately during that time, that you had just the most amazing time. So that is very, very cool and a great memory to have. Do you think the Bucks will win another championship? Whether it's soon, I don't know, that it can be that vague. Or is it going to be, are the Bucks just doomed to be a franchise that's like, great, you got one. Here comes 50 more years of pain. Is there going to be a 50-year wait, or do you believe that the Bucks can and will win more championships in that time?
As long as Giannis and Chris are here, and if we're going to win one, it's going to be within the next 4 years. Like, Giannis, Chris, and Drew all here. Like, otherwise, I mean, obviously Giannis will still be here, God willing. I don't think he's leaving, but... And, you know, his contract would be up if he wanted to. And we'd give him a parade and a statue and the key to the city and every single other thing if he wanted to pursue financial opportunities
elsewhere. Spot on
elsewhere.
The Brewers.
Yeah. All right, him buying the Brewers is so funny because I remember I went to a Brewers game with some people from Buck's Twitter. And I remember jokingly asking because I don't follow baseball that much. I don't pretend to. Like, I pay attention to the Brewers because everyone on my Twitter friends obviously is a Brewers fan. So I tend to keep up with how they're doing. But it was I was like, I remember looking at jersey, it's like, can I get an Antetokounmpo one? Just is that a thing? Like, because we had that exact conversation, like standing, I think, staring at a Christian Yelich jersey, and it was just, and now that's real, which is just very funny. We had a good laugh about that. But sorry, yeah. What was the question?
The question was, you think they can avoid another 50-year wait?
I think it's a good chance we get one within the next 4 years. Will it be next year? Who knows? Like, obviously, the Nets have built their entire core of obviously highly talented players around 3 injury-prone players where obviously we saw what happened in the playoffs. And can they all be healthy at the same time? We'll see. Like, if they're all healthy and playing at their levels and actually work together, that team's going to be very difficult to beat. I think they could do it if the Bucks don't play like idiots like they are tend to sometimes. But yeah, it's going to be the whole, what is this team going to look like in a couple years? Like, are we going to re-up Chris like on another max? I hope we would. If Giannis and Chris are separated, I'm going to cry real tears. But yeah, that's like the whole like 4 years from now when Drew's contract's up, is he gonna retire? Like, is Chris gonna? I don't know what Chris is gonna do. He'll be obviously Giannis will still only be like 30, but like, it'll be interesting to see what this team
even
looks
Brooke
like.
Before that is the one, because that will be the first kind of look we get at how they handle all of that, and if they kind of get a little bit ahead of that, which at the moment I don't think so, and getting ahead of anything might require actually having some draft picks and not wasting them when you do use them. But yeah, that's going to be the point where it comes to decisions on Drew and Chris in particular, but I would go to Brooke too, and just how they deal with that and what way they go about that. It could get ugly in a hurry when you start doing that. Brooke's a year earlier than the other.
Isn't it? I thought Brooke was next year his up, so then Bobby Portis is going to get his definitely not previously agreed to under the table bag that he got.
I'm pretty sure Brooke is this, not next summer, the summer
2022, 2023, I think.
Right. Okay. So Bobby is his Bobby his will get a little bit more next summer again. Although he should have got more this summer, so we'll see what Bobby decides to do. Maybe he gives up again and then he's like, yeah, well, I'm taking a max when Brooke goes. But yeah, that's the progression, is that likely 2022-23 is the final year of Brooks.
Yeah, because Bobby can sign for what, 444 next year, something like that. But
yeah, it's right in around that.
Because I'm assuming he'll obviously, if we can slide him, I don't know if we can slide him into starting full time, and then Giannis will actually act as center. We'll see, but I don't know. Well, that's 2 years from now. We don't have to worry about it.
There are the bridges that we'll cross when we get to them.
May the bridges I burn light the way.
You suggesting that maybe the way they deal with Brooke retiring or moving Plumlee, on is baby. To bring Miles Plumlee back? Yeah.
Purveyor of fun.
That would certainly be a turn up. Okay.
Sorry, Adam, before you go. Jordan, I just need you to know that meme has lived on. I remember when I was hosting Bucks Jeopardy, like on my account, just as a bit, and I said this phrase was on Miles Plumlee's sweatshirt, and it was answered immediately. Everyone knows that may the bridges I burn light the way.
That's good. And when you, just out of curiosity, when you did, because you even pointed this out to me, I had forgotten that you did Bucks Jeopardy on Twitter. Were the answers that you had, were they the actual correct answers? Unlike, you know, when a certain Rowan Cotty hosted and I was answering questions of my whole life, and I was being told they were wrong when they were right. So just for the record, you were like a reliable host.
Well, yeah, it was insane, because obviously I was making everything up as I go. I had the answers I already had. Obviously, I had the answers, but there was no categories. There was no set number of players. Everyone on my Twitter was playing. And it just, yeah, that was insane. That was really fun. I've been meaning to go back to it. It's just, that was an entire afternoon, or 2 days I spent just sitting there with the Jeopardy creator making questions. But
yeah, I have a Jeopardy to host very, very soon, so I'm going to have to do exactly that. So yeah, we'll see how that turns out. All I could say is I know that the answers will, in fact, be the answers. That's all I'll say on that one for now.
Did you bully Rohan into hosting after the debacle of episode one, or is you guys taking turns?
No, the loser hosts. So I lost. I'm going to host, and I think it's appropriate I host. You know, I'll show Rohan how it's done. That, you know, attention to detail, research. These are important details if you're going to be the host. So yeah, that will be our next episode of Jeopardy very, very soon. This was a lot of fun to finally get you on. To talk Bucks Championship, but also a lot of the other stuff over the years with the Bucks with you. Do you want to tell people where they could find you on Twitter? Or, like, I'm sure they know, but if you want to do that, is there anything in particular you want to highlight for people? Is there anything being cooked up? Any characters? Anything we should be aware of over at Nihilus Bucks HQ?
Let me look at my notes app. I have dumb ideas and I write them down, but honestly, if you don't follow me, you shouldn't. And if you do follow me, you probably shouldn't. I meant to. I never got around to it. I was going to actively try to lose followers over the off season, and I kept gaining them from the Valley Oop, and it was not going the way I wanted it to. But go check out the final Valley Oop on YouTube, I guess, if I'm going to plug anything. I worked hard on that 7 minutes of stupidity. But let's see. I remember I was talking to Easy Yee on Bucks Twitter, and I came up with the brand mid-conversation with him. I haven't done it yet, where it's Bucks Rescue, and it's just Bar Rescue, but about the Bucks. It's the stupidest idea ever, and I think I have 2 tweets planned for it. That's a brand that I just have saved that I haven't used yet, so there's that for you.
That's an exclusive.
Yeah, and then another brand I haven't done yet, and this is the stupidest one I've ever had, is One Man Biker Gang, where it's just one dude by himself in a biker gang.
So pretty self-explanatory.
I cannot wait to see how that one plays out.
Quick, I guess just, I don't know, you're ending the pod, you can use this or not, but the whole, like, divergence from Nihilist was, one, I was bored. 2, the Bucks were good, so no one wanted to sit around and hear about that anymore. Because, yeah, I remember right around the Budenholzer era, I don't remember when the switch happened, but I remember I started out doing NBA drill tweets because I just wanted to tweet that Eric Bledsoe bowed his head solemnly. There's no difference between good things and bad things or whatever. Like,
I remember it.
And everyone's like, what the hell? And then I just slowly started making up stupid ideas and just tweeting. I started tweeting instead of what I want the people, what I thought the people would want is what I wanted to tweet. And that's when the account became a chaos nightmare of someone with a broken brain. I just started tweeting more like myself, and people are like, what the hell is wrong with you? Some of the stuff
It's funny you say that, because I've spoken to you long before. I remember pre-nihilist, I remember nihilist, and you are 100% right. There is a certain point where those things are just one and the same. And you know what? That's good. You know, that's great. I'm glad to see that you can just tweet what you want to tweet now. That's a good point to have arrived at.
Yeah, like, when I got to the point where I was hosting an entire talk show based around the Ersan Ilyasova countdown that slowly descended into madness and was being consumed by the void, which is an insane... Everyone, just play that back. That is an insane sentence that no one with a functioning brain should be able to come up with. And I was having so much fun. I was, like, having a ball. And I'm like, I started having fun on Twitter again when I was started just doing that nonsense stuff. Like, it was... Yeah, when I got to the point where I was, like, getting bored, and that's basically when I switch brands now, is when I get bored or it's not funny anymore to me. Because I just tweet things that I think are funny, and if people don't think they're funny, I don't care. Like, random number generator, which is what I did on last April Fool's, where I was just tweeting a random number every 15 minutes, and people were getting so mad. I was laughing hysterically at every single tweet, where I just tweet, like, 34 or 7, and people were like, what are you doing?
That is, I will admit, that is, it's a response I've had to multiple of your tweets over the years, is, what are you doing? but I guess that's part of the fun of it, is the variety. You never know what you're going to get next. So, yeah, you know, Gregory may not want more followers, but if I don't know, is this an endorsement? I will say you do not know what you're going to get next. Depending on the person, that may be an endorsement or it may not be.
The people I love are the people who have yet never figure out that I'm the same account, because I constantly switch.
And they, like, fall for every single change.
Yeah, like, but it's gotten to the point where, like, too many people are in on Gregory and it's just not fun anymore. Like, occasionally it's fun, but it almost just feels like like dragging out this corpse for everyone to go laugh at. Like, even though he's synonymous.
Actually, on this, I did not know, like, you know, Gregory's face. I don't know how much we want this. You could tell me if you want this cut. I did not know that Gregory's face belonged to an actual sports reporter until, like, last week. I thought he was, like, a stock photo or something. And that blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind.
So here's the story. I didn't know that either. I Googled white sports reporter and I found the most generic looking headshot I could find. And then I used it, and now it's too late. And now that I realize it's Joel Klatt, like, you can say his name. I did not know it was Joel Klatt.
Football guy.
Yeah. So everyone, of course, every Saturday now will tweet me pictures of Joel Klatt, like, Gregory's here.
I saw a clip of him speaking, like, last week, and it was really unnerving. It's unfortunate for him that there's, like, a whole NBA fan base that he probably knows nothing about, where he's like, wow, it's for the best he knows nothing about it, but so it's just...
He might know something about it at this point, because it's gotten to the point, like, he doesn't block me, or I haven't heard nothing of that, but it got to the point when I announced that after Jim Paschke was stepping down, I'm like, well, guess Gregory has to become the new play-by-play guy. So I had Ryan and Six make me a beautiful graphic of Gregory with the Welcome to Milwaukee, Gregory Smith. And I tweeted out, and it started blowing up, because, like, of course, my followers that were in on the joke, everyone's retweeting it, and it's hitting to the people that don't know that are in on the joke, or not on the joke, and everyone's just adding Joel, like, isn't that Joel Klatt? Like, and I was like, okay, I gotta delete this now.
This has been, genuinely, a lot of fun to talk through all this with you. It was great to have you on. For everyone listening, let us know. Again, if you're enjoying these, we'll keep doing them. We'll do a few more. If people are having fun, kind of going back down memory lane, whether it's books over the years, books championship, let us know. We'll keep doing them for a while yet if it remains popular. To make sure you get all of our episodes, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You should also subscribe at gspn.substack.com. You'll get all of our podcasts, videos, as well as whatever. Random articles, musings that Jordan, Rowan, Ty, or I might have. So until next time, thanks again to all of you for listening. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.